Blackfoot, what is it, Joe Blackfoot that worked over at Gilt?
Barefoot.
There's Barefoot Road right over here. There's somebody lives there. He said, the sound still preaches up that broken word church. I said, what? He said, isn't it broken? I said, spoken. Yeah, that's right, spoken words.
Broken.
I've heard people call us unspoken words. But that's okay. The seven thunders. Are the mission.
Who asked you?
I can't remember the guy's name. He's an older gentleman, but he's known Daddy for a long.
You don't know him.
No, he's not a, he's not somebody that's real familiar, so. Good to have Joe and them back. Good to have everybody back. Good to be back. Good to have Luis and Christine back too, so.
Rachel here.
Well, she may not want to be here, but.
My name is Joe and them.
You came. I told her when she came driving in last night, me and June had a little welcoming party out there, you know, and all the kids and Joe's like doing this and Rachel went.
Well, I said, that's what Rachel was doing.
I said, you really don't want to, didn't want to come back. She said, no, I was in the car for 12 hours with them kids.
No, they actually were.
So, well.
No problem at all.
You what?
They know that.
Yeah.
Well, two of them are just about adults.
Yeah.
All right, let's get started here. Back into the book of Romans. Now, we were talking about last Sunday. We were talking about circumcision versus uncircumcision, and we know that it's the circumcision of the heart,
right,
not the circumcision of the flesh. But now watch, because Paul has to come back, because you can't take natural circumcision away because it's in the Bible.
Right.
Because that's what they depended on in the Old Testament. They depended on that circumcision because that's what God said. God said, Abraham, for a sign, go and circumcise yourself and your household and everyone after this as a sign that I have accepted your faith. Because yeah. Watch right here. It says, look, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? And he's asking the question. Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Paul couldn't deny that God came to Israel first, gave them a covenant, gave them something to live by until he would come.
Right.
So you can't do away, like the Old Testament, you can't do away with the Old Testament. So the Old Testament has circumcision. But let's keep reading, because Paul's going to bring it right back in and say, well, we know before that it was all circumcision. If you were circumcised, you were a Jew, and you were in the order of Israel, or the house of God. Now it's the circumcision of the heart, or the inward man.
Yes.
All right, watch. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Paul again not denying that God came to Israel first. We can't deny that. God came to Israel first and gave them something to live by. Okay? For what if some did not believe? In other words, what's Paul saying? There were many people that were physically circumcised that didn't live it, that didn't live the law, that didn't, were heathen, really.
Right.
Even in the Jewish realm, they were murderers and liars, and you understand what I'm saying? So what he's saying is, for what if some did not believe? He's asking them a question. He's saying, now, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Because the faith of God was that Abraham said, I'm going to have a child, and God said, seal it with circumcision, and that'll be a sign unto you that you believe me. But not everybody believed, just like now. But you can't have a circumcision of the heart now. That's when Jesus comes. You can't have a circumcision of the heart now and be an unbeliever.
Right.
That's right.
Now, there's some things you can't understand. There is some things that you don't believe, to a point. But you got to come to something, because that heart is a believer. I was telling them this morning in the brotherhood. I told them, I said, how many of you have seen Jesus? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
I said, what did they see? They saw what was Philip doing. Philip said, you're talking about this Father to Jesus in John 14. You're talking to me about this Father. You're telling us Father did this and Father did that, and the Father does this, and I'd work this, and the Father. Where's the Father? Philip said, I mean, Jesus said, Philip, come on. Have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what I told him in the Sunday school class. I said, you never seen either one. Now, Philip cannot say that. Philip saw Jesus standing there, but we didn't know Jesus died on the cross. So we have to be believers. That's why, you know, I told him we were sitting here under the umbrella of being a believer. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that the Heavenly Father was in him. I didn't get into the Trinity, but the Heavenly Father was in him doing the work. So that's what Jesus said. And they kind of looked at me a little strong when I said, look, if Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I said, now he's lying if that's not what happened.
Yeah.
So whatever Jesus did is what the Father did, just like me and you, just like I was talking about us, with a DNA marker or a genetic marker, I walk like my grandpa, they say, the Father. You walk like, and Lord, Donnie Fawbush. You know, Tom walked down them aisles for 20-something years. I mean, that kind of. And duty comes. And now you go watch Donnie. Donnie's the same. I mean, you could just take the top part of Donnie off and you'd swear it was Tom. Why? Because there's a genetic marker inside of Donnie that came from Daddy that he can't get away from. You can't get away from that. So the same thing with the Heavenly Father. That's what I said. If you become a Christian, that's what led to my story about if you were put on trial, could they convict you of being a Christian? I said, because Jesus said, I went on to John 14:20 and said, I and you and me. I said, it's not to Jesus. And I told him, I said, why do we pray looking up? I said, Moses said he ain't even up there. Jesus said, he's not up there either. He said, I'm going to come back and be with you in you. I said, he's right here, nigh thee. You know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I said. I said, now can he convict you of being a Christian? So same here, same us.
Yeah.
But circumcision didn't, you know what? We could all go say, well, we've been circumcised. There's probably 100% of people. No, there's probably 90% of the people that's been circumcised ain't going to make it to heaven. Physically.
Right.
And them too, because it says, in other words, what she's saying is, same way I'm with you and I, but unbelief makes the faith of God ineffective. When you say I don't believe, that just stops the whole process. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. In other words, I can be circumcised. And it really, just like I told y'all last Sunday, you have nothing to do with circumcision.
Right.
You're 8 days old.
Yeah.
Physically. You understand what I'm saying? Physically, you didn't have a choice as a male. Because
right.
They either did it or didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, they either did it or didn't. And your parents did it.
That's right.
Right? It was the parents that put it to it.
Right.
It wasn't us. You know, so. Mm-hmm. Comment?
I said, I think today it's done for cleanliness, prevent infections.
Yes. And you look in different cultures and they don't. So
right. Throw
it away. It's just not, like I said, and that's what he's saying, God forbid. You can't make this a believer just because he's circumcised.
That's right.
You know, you.
Right.
And really, that's what Paul was saying about whoever it was, Timothy, when he took him into the temple.
Yeah.
Paul was like, come on, people. It ain't got nothing to do with your flesh.
Right.
But they're like, he ain't coming in here, he's defiling the temple, he ain't circumcised. Well, you know what? They must have checked him out. Because they knew it. But Paul said, come on, guys. And that's what he's saying here. Come on. Are we going to make it a belief that we have to be circumcised? No, God forbid. Forget about it. You can be an unbeliever and be circumcised. But you can't be an unbeliever and be circumcised in the heart.
That's right.
When you get a circumcision in the heart, that's the new birth. And that cuts off that old excess flesh. And gets rid of that. Let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, very interpolated. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? In other words, he's not going to judge the world by circumcision.
Right.
Right.
like I said, your flesh, even at the day of judgment, the people are going to walk up in the flesh they sinned in. But that flesh is not what is what's going to send them to hell.
Right.
It's being an unbeliever. It's what's going to send you to the other place. Look, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Somebody must have brought something up against Paul. And not rather, he's interpolating, as we be slanderously reported. Now some has must have said Paul was something else. Paul, you're a sinner, you're doing this, you're doing that. And you know what happens? You look at Paul's life. We even look at Jesus' life. They said he was a sinner. They said he was. Born of fornication, a wine bibber, loved to hang around prostitutes and sinners. And they called him Beelzebub. And he was Almighty God. So same way with Paul. Paul, you can't be of God. They stone you before you go. They kick you out. They try to kill you. They've got legions looking for you, Paul. You can't be of God. He said, I ain't talking about that. He said, look, why are we saying let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just? Let us do evil. Now what's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to do something bad intentionally so that I can get something good out of it. Now that's not, you know that as well as I do. That's not right. You don't want to do something, well, I'll drink a couple of beers and see what God's going to do. Yeah, all right? No, you're tempting God, and that's what he's fixing to say. You're tempting God. And don't tempt God. What then are we better than they? No and no wise. Now look, for we have before proved both Jews that they are all under sin. So Paul just throwed the big blanket out there and said, we're all lost.
Right.
Whether you circumcise, whether you go to the temple, whether you do this, Hail Mary, whatever. Okay? We're all under sin. That's why I like to start at that point. And there was a guy walked up to me afterwards, because I told him about in my 20th anniversary was in June of 1998.
Yeah.
20 year school graduation anniversary. Well, I was part of the officers, so we got all everything. Anyway, we got everything together, and only the four or five that was around me knew who I was. And the other ones saw me, and they voted me the most changed person. Well, see, I had a conversion, a Christian conversion, back in December of that year. So from December to June, they declared that I was a different person. And a guy walked up to me this morning and said, yeah, I said, I can remember when you was a little bit different than you are now. I said, yeah. I said, thank God that he can't remember. Whether you remember or not, that's okay, but God can't remember it. So there's got to be a conversion. There's a transforming. That's what we're going to talk about this evening, coming from the new birth that we talked about last Sunday, about the old person must be dead. If the old person's dead, somebody's got to come to life.
That's right.
Because you can't just stay dead.
That's right.
If the old man's dead, then something has to come alive. Right? So, and I believe that that's what the Heavenly Father said. He said, I'll come and take up my abode in you.
Yes.
What then say? Are we better than they? No, and no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. I'm going to read verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All right, now I'm going to read you in the Greek. And you read along. I didn't do that last Sunday. In the Greek it says, what then is the superiority of the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every respect, but first indeed, because they were entrusted with the oracles of God. In other words, like I said, the people in the Old Testament, they were given something to live by. And God honored that. Look, God honored Abraham's faith by giving him the sign of circumcision. And that sign continued on until today. That sign of circumcision. I didn't say the sign of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But a type now, since the Holy Ghost did come. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief annul the fidelity of God? Now that's verse 3. Read that. For if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Original says, for what if some did not believe? Question mark. Will their unbelief annul the fidelity of God? In other words, unbelief will never override the faith of God.
That's right.
Never. Because it makes the faith of God without effect. Now, some people can do it, but if you don't have, if you have that circumcision of the heart, you won't. Unbelief can't overtake you if you're a believer. Because you got to believe, like I said, my son, you got to believe something died. You got to believe the old you died. I don't care if you say the soul died or the spirit died or the nature died or whatever. Something died.
Right.
The nature of that old soul, that old spirit that you had, that you were born, and then God give you a soul, then Satan, what Satan does is what I believe, he just attaches himself to that. Because he can't give you a soul or make you a soul.
Right.
He can't even take your soul.
Right. Yeah.
He really can't take a sinner's soul.
Yeah.
He can't. God's the only one that can touch that soul of that person. That's why that we see that, I see in continuity of God that when we come to the millennium, see that's, man is going to destroy the earth. Human beings are going to die, but souls are not going to die. Because the dead live not for 1,000 years. They're covered down in that fifth dimension, right? Got to come up in the body that they sinned in and their soul. And then now we see the battle. To me, the battle of Gog and Magog is that final battle where God's fire kills all souls. Because he's the only one who can kill souls. He kills all the demons and all the souls of the people. You say, well, they're going to look. Listen, if you're a sinner, you're dead. I don't care if you're walking around, like I said before in the scripture, she that walketh in other words, in sin, is dead while she lives.
Right.
So a sinner's dead, he's convicted already. And he's going to his judgment. And you say, well, God's going to kill the soul. Eventually he will. I mean, they may burn for 1,000,000,000 years.
Right.
But one day, that soul of that person will just go vanish. You know, that's hard to think of. You got all these people, the Bill Gates and all, and I'm just bringing out names of people that, not saying he's not converted. I'm just saying you take somebody that's, like I said, has had everything. Multi-billionaire, just been able to give his whole, you know, he gives more than most people. He gives more in a week than people making an eternity, a lifetime, you know.
Right.
But that's going to be of naught. And then one day, if he's not a converted Christian, one day his name's never going to be mentioned again. And his whole psyche, his whole self is going to just vanish. Gone. Lights off. To me, that scares me more. That scares me, really. But with eternal life, we know that that's continuing on. So we take the glory in that. But let's finish this. Everybody all right?
Yeah, amen.
For what if some did not believe? Were their unbelief annulled the fidelity of God? By no means, Paul said. But let God be true, though every man be false. Even as it has been written, that thou mayest be justified in thy words and mayest overcome in thy judgment. But if our unrighteousness establishes God's righteousness, what shall we say? Is that God unrighteous who inflicts wrath? I speak according to man. By no means. Otherwise, how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God, verse 7, so I'm going to read it right here. For if the truth of God abounded by my falsehood to this glory, why am I also yet judged as a sinner? And not as we have been falsely accused. Like I said, Paul's been accused of something. Because that's our problem. I see a problem with people at church. You'll have a good week and everything, you just feel. You have a bad week and they don't show up, or they go to the altar 3 or 4 times. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love what Brother Brown said. He said, cloudy day don't mean God's not with you.
That's right.
But a sunny day don't mean he's with you either.
That's right.
All right? That's why we're Christians, to overcome these things and have a balance. Because if you don't, you're like this.
Right.
How can we overcome? Read that sermon. How can we overcome? Brother Brown said, you got to have it. It's got to be an even keel. Well, I'm circumcised. Even if you're circumcised in the heart, you're going to have trouble.
That's right. That's true.
You just got to, those who endure to the end, that's all I got to say. I love that. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Okay? To me, that just covers the whole Bible. Those who endure to the end. God knew if you were going to endure. You know what? He won't give you the new birth if he knows you're going to really goof up somewhere. And deny. You understand? And deny the whole thing. He knows that. Remember, he sees the end from the beginning. That's why he can, if you go by predestination that way, then yeah, that is the way you went. But that's the way you went. Not the way that God made you go. It's the way you went. Because being all this, you're free moral agent. But watch, this keeps going on down. Let's read now verse 9 and finish. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now let's read what the Greek says about that. Even as it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. All right? There is none that understands. There is none that seeks God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, become all together. They become what? Unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Boy, now he gets... Now what Paul is doing, Paul's fixing to talk to the people that's been talking about him. Paul's human, but God's using this for us.
Yeah.
Amen? But what Paul's fixing to tell you where this is coming from, their throat is an open sepulcher.
Yes.
With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Buddy, he's hitting somebody pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now see, that's not a Christian
right.
attitude. All right? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Now, buddy, he is really laying it on. And the way of peace have they not known. In other words, what's he saying? The people that are talking about him are not born again. They have no Christianity in them at all. They have went back to the, well, I'm circumcised and you're uncircumcised. Or, well, I'm a Jew and and I go to the temple and you don't go to the temple. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And that's what the law did. Isn't that what a law does? A law makes you guilty.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Okay? I like the analogy somebody used a long time ago, and I try to use it myself. Somebody was complaining, and this was not a Christian person, that they were changing the law, that the DUI law was now going to be 0.6 instead of 0.8. You know, you blow the breathalyzer test. Meaning that you couldn't drink two beers and drive, now you can drink one beer and drive. So they were just complaining. I mean, blah, 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 blah. I said, you know what? I said, they can put it at 0.0001. Because I don't drink.
Right.
So that law has become of non-effect.
Yes.
Yet it is a law on the book. But it has become not effective to me because I don't drink. And if I never drink, what's so funny, Rachel?
Yeah.
I just said you might be caught
then.
So watch it.
You asked.
You asked.
You asked. You asked. Anyhow,
it was still good to have you back. Anyway, let's get the point. The point is, the law is not effective to me if I don't break it. It don't have to be on the book. That's why that Brother Brown said that you know, and like Brother Dale says, it'd be good to have born-again Christians in every part of your work aspect. We still have problems, but still, you could get away, you know, you could do away with the DUI law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why that when we get to glory, there's not going to be these laws that follow us. Why? You don't need them.
Right.
But now they do now. Some need it because some are going to be guilty before God. That's why I'm telling you, once we realize what we have in the new birth, we're guiltless. We're guiltless, folks. There is no law that covers me and you except what we do in the external.
Right?
The internal man can't be improved on. Because he is the eternal God. He is the one that wrote the law, put people under the law, but came under the law so he could get us out from under the law. Okay? So listen, there's no law in the Bible that you're gonna worry about breaking in your soul. God can't go against God. Now I said soul, I didn't say the spirit realm. We still got that guy to deal with. Now that spirit realm guy, we have to deal with. Because verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Because what's going to happen is they're going to justify it in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the same way with you and I. Let's read verse 20 in the original and see what it says. Therefore by works of the law, no human being shall be justified in his presence. For through law there is an acknowledgement of sin. Now look, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law. It had to come through the law. Jesus Christ had to come through the law and the prophets. Because see, there's a... We don't want to get into this, but we will for just a minute. There's a paradox. And don't get me wrong. I mean this the way I say it. You and I don't need the Old Testament to live by. We have to have the Old Testament to live by. We're still under the law. But now, don't get me wrong. Don't start tearing the Old Testament out of the Bible and throwing it away. Because, see, you know what? God knew we would say that. So in Corinthians, he wrote over there and said that what? These were all given for examples to whom the ends of the world have come upon. So he knew I'd stand here and say this today when he wrote that. That we do have to keep them both. Because, man, the Old Testament is perfect types of God's grace. And God bringing in the Gentiles and all those things. But you got to remember, the Jews have lived by the Torah and the prophets for now 6,000 years. From Moses till now. Same books. But see what it's done? They denied the Messiah and they're waiting on him to show up. And only 144,000 are going to realize that. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, we've been living in the Old Testament. Now we have this New Testament. And they're going to go testify to the ones that are still living under the law, and that's what's going to get them killed. That's just what I believe. I don't believe they're going to be killed by the United States government and the Filipino government and the Roman government. And, you know what I'm saying? The people inside their own place are going to get mad at them for turning against, because, hey, if they killed Jesus one time, they're going to kill him again. But the 144,000 are going to be saved out of that. They're going to what? Realize that they're out from under the law now. Because who's coming to them? Prophets. Two prophets that know the Old Testament. Elijah and Moses. The spirit of the two. And it's going to be so evident in the two witnesses that the 144,000 are going to turn and say, they have stepped right out of the Old Testament. They're doing the same. So see, you can't do away with the Old Testament. They look back and say, they're doing the same thing. Yes. Water turned to blood. Fire coming down from heaven. Stopping the rain. These are characteristics that we see. But now what they're going to do is to say, okay, that's fine. But there's a righteousness in God that law won't touch. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And they'll probably say, oh yeah, we heard about him. He's a good man. No. They're going to say then, this is the reason we're standing here. Is that he went to a group of Gentiles And you see all that chaos going on in America. You see all the things that are happening over there. You all around the world. It's because there was a group left. And now God is dealing with you. And that's going to bring the 144,000 in. Mm-hmm. Out from under the law. And bring them right in.
Yes.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ. That's the faith of Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
Now see, if you have the new birth, you have the faith. Because, hey, you can have faith in Jesus Christ and be lost.
Right. Right.
Your faith. Not his faith.
Right.
Your faith.
Because right.
There's a lot of people saying, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like what, you know, when Brother Brown said, you asked a drunk on the street, you believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And probably say his name 30, 40 times during the day. But not calling on him. But by faith of Jesus Christ. Now, boy, I like that because that has to, whatever Jesus' faith was, it's come to me and you.
That's right.
Yeah. See, that's what we get, the same thing about the new birth. We, whatever, that's what Brother Dale, heirs and joint heirs. Whatever belief that Christ had that he could walk on the water, that he could change the, he could feed 5,000, he could change certain things, raise the dead, heal the sick, that was the faith of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And now that faith of Jesus Christ is not in Jesus Christ anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it comes from him.
Yes.
But he said, I'm going to give it to you.
Amen.
I will be with you, even in you. Okay. See what we got? It's what we've already got. Not what's coming, what we've already got when we come into the new birth.
Amen.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Now watch. I like this scripture. You say, oh man, it condemns me. Well, it did me too. But it shows me where I had to start.
Right.
For all have sinned.
Yes. Right.
So just throw everybody in the hell. You know, their own personal hell. Throw everybody in the hell. And then God's going to what? Save them out. That's what I told a man one time. I said, he said, well, I got saved. I said, what'd you get saved from? Couldn't answer. I said, saved means that somebody throws you in the water and you can't swim. And you were drowning.
Right.
And somebody reached down and picked you up and put you in the boat.
Yes.
And saved you from what you were doing. To me, that's saved.
Yes.
That's the simplest form of salvation you can see, is that somebody saved you from what you were doing.
Yes.
Now, what happens is we have the ability to jump back in the water. If we don't get the new birth, that's exactly what happened. God lets go and he goes right back in the water again.
Right?
So that's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people going to be saved. But there's not a lot of people going to get the new birth.
Right.
Like I was telling you Sunday, there's a big difference. Well, not a big difference. There's a difference in eternal life and the new birth. The new birth is something so special. So special. That only a small group of people is going to get it. And the reason they got it is they believe and know how to handle it.
Right.
I said, and know how to handle it. But we come up to the day now, we got to know how to handle it.
That's right.
Because power without character is satanic. We've seen it happen thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen, Paul. I believe that 100%. He gets you out, though. He's getting you out of the water.
Yes.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So he brought him right back out. All sin comes short of the glory of God. Ain't got no hope. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look, whom God has set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. Look, his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. I read this before. Remember, this is under justification. When we did the seals and we talked about justification, we read that scripture right there. Remember Brother Brown said God would give you baby form justification, chops off your past sins, and I never remembered anymore. Remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You know why Paul said that? Because there's some that's going to keep piling the sin up. There's some that's not. They're going to go on to sanctification. They're going to go on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they're not going to have to. Their past is not going to be brought up again.
Right.
All right. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, so Paul has none, that he may be just and the justifier, we read in scripture too, of him which believeth in Jesus. See, that's why I'm telling you. If you'll listen to these seals that we're bringing, every scripture you read is going to touch something that we're talking about. Because if it's the plan of redemption, if it's the total plan of redemption, the only way you're going to be redeemed is by what I'm reading and by what you're reading. Amen? That's the only way you're going to get redeemed. Because redemption, perpetuation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. But now remember, it's His righteousness.
Right.
But hold on a minute. If we're heirs and joint heirs, you got to take that and put it right inside of you.
That's right.
Because in myself, I'm not righteous.
That's right.
But that thing that's inside of me is.
Yeah.
You just got to start believing that. That thing inside of you is just as righteous as God. It's not just as righteous as God, it is God.
That's right.
That's why I say this Father's name means more to me than ever. You got a Father that you're supposed to walk like. And He's given you all the provision. Dad and Mom give us all the provisions we needed. We goofed up bad, most of them. All right? But now the Heavenly Father won't.
Right.
He won't call you up one day and say, I can't make it, I got to work.
No.
He won't call you up one day and say, nah, I'm going to be gone, I can't get to you. No, He's not that way. Where was that? 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier. Who's the justifier? He is, but He's justifying. That Him is us.
That's right.
The justifier of Him which believeth in Jesus.
Right.
So now we're a Him.
Right.
He justified us. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. We do live under that law.
Right.
We live under a law of faith. Therefore we conclude, now what? Look, from right here up to verse 1, Paul is going to conclude. Therefore we conclude, in other words, what you're doing, bringing a summary, bringing it to this point right here. That a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Paul just put a... That's right. That's right. Well, see, that faith of Jesus Christ that we read is right here. We conclude. Let's see what that word right there means. Is that okay? We got just a few minutes. I love this app. I love it greater when it works. Okay. It means... Going down here. To reckon. To count, compute, calculate, count over, to take into account. All right, no, so Paul, what are you talking about? Well, to take into account all this I've said. Taking all this into account, we're going to conclude or surmise or have a summation that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So he's doing away, because right here, look. Is he the God of the Jews? We've got one more minute. Is he the God of the Jew only? Is he not of the Gentile? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Let's finish reading, we'll get it done. Seeing it is one God, hallelujah, yeah, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Because the uncircumcision has a law that they live, a heathen.
Right.
So through faith, they got to see it. Now, the ones that are justified by circumcision by faith, they're already in. The ones that are in, the ones that are out. All got to be by faith. 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 Do we then make void the law through faith? Here we go. Now, Paul, can we take the whole Old Testament and throw it away? God forbid. We establish the law.
Yeah, that's right.
You and I are the only ones that can live the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a law. There is a DUI law. But the unwritten law is that you can drive all the time you want to. Right? You just can't pass this right here.
Yeah.
If you start drinking, then if you drink and drive, this law takes over this law.
Right.
The law says you can drive. You can drive from when you're 16 years old, you can drive. There's your law. But there are laws on top of that law that says if you drink, if you run a red light, if you speed, if you do this, if you reckless driving. You see what I'm saying? So we do live under a law that says we can drive. We live under a law. We establish a law that the law in the letter is something for us to read, take into account, but we live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's go. I like this book of Romans. I'm telling you, I really enjoy it.